What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
There's a new richest guy in the world, and he's got a problem, and he wants our help. Last week, Elon Musk, the Tesla CEO, became the world's richest person, beating out Amazon's Jeff Bezos for the title, at least for now. And now that he's got more money than anyone else on the planet, Musk has a classic mo money, mo problem. He's trying to figure out how to get rid of some of that money. Here to talk about that is Recode's Teddy Schleifer. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Let's talk about this very specific problem that Elon Musk has that only the world's richest person can have. First of all, let's discuss how rich Elon Musk is.
Sure.
What's his wealth as of today-ish?
So as of today-ish, it's north of $190 billion. It's been over $200 billion for sometimes this week. And that's largely because of this pretty extraordinary run for Elon's main company, Tesla, which has seen its stock go up more than 700% in calendar year 2020. So he's had an incredible year, which has, you know, created this weird phenomenon where in late 2019, Elon Musk was somewhere, I think, around the $20 billion of net worth. And suddenly he's...
A mere $20 billion.
And suddenly his net worth has 10-oopled, whatever word you want to use for that. And it's been a pretty extraordinary development. And now you have the situation where... he's the wealthiest person in the world, and it doesn't just mean there's going to be questions about his philanthropy, but kind of more broadly, I mean, the richest person in the world tends to become almost this avatar for like American capitalism, right? Obviously, people on the left who are upset about income inequality, they take the richest person in the world, which was once Bill Gates, and then it was Jeff Bezos, and now it's going to be Elon Musk, and that person becomes a symbol for what's wrong with America in their eyes. So Elon is now going to have this sort of new level of scrutiny that he hasn't had up to date.
And Elon Musk is someone who generates a lot of attention already,
course, yeah.
Right? People love his cars. They love his company. They love paying attention to him. Sometimes they love to hate him. So it's not like he's
right,
a wallflower,
right.
But it is a new level of scrutiny. And this level of wealth may not stick around, right? It's historically stocks that go up 700% a year don't always retain that level. So he may go back to being a mere 20 billionaire at some point. But for the meantime, he's the richest person in the world. So how much of that do you think he intends to give away?
So Musk has said that he basically plans to get rid of all of the money in some way or another. I mean, he said that he wants to spend half of his money on problems here on Earth and half of his money on problems on outside of Earth, and specifically to develop a civilization on Mars. Musk is obviously also the founder of SpaceX, which is a company that's trying to do interplanetary space flight. But Musk has also signed the Giving Pledge, which is something that lots of billionaires have signed to give away at least half of their money, either in their lifetimes or in their will. But taking a step back, this was all when he was much poorer, so to speak. I mean, this was a decade ago.
I don't think you can describe him as poorer when he was a billionaire.
Poorer. And look, it's not, we make light of this problem, but there is this age right now in American capitalism where there are some extremely wealthy people who are accumulating assets, and they honestly, I don't really know what to do with it, right? They almost become asset managers where, you know, they hire family offices that can get pretty big, whose job it is to basically keep the money from at least not depreciating And it does raise questions about what should this money be doing? Because if it's just sitting there in some wealth management account, you know, obviously a lot of the reason why billionaires justify being billionaires is this belief that they're going to do good with the world, so don't tax us too highly.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I mean, you've covered this several times for Recode. Basically, that billionaires have a special problem, which is it's difficult for them to give money away. And one is, you've explained pretty succinctly, that unless they give a lot away, the money keeps accumulating just through sort of basic interest. But it seems like you could solve that by giving more of it away. And it seems like a lot of them are paralyzed about sort of not knowing the right way to put it to work, and they end up sort of doing nothing.
Yeah.
So where do you think Musk falls in that? Is he fancies himself sort of a contrarian? Does he have a different plan than the average billionaire?
Yeah. I mean, I think in a lot of ways he at least has a point of view and claims that he is clear-eyed about what he wants to do with it. Right. Lots of billionaires succumb to what some people call analysis paralysis, the idea that, like, I have no idea what to do with the money, so, right, I'm going to just do nothing and maybe figure it out. Musk, obviously, if he's about 50 years old and he is a, you know, maniacally hard worker, that's how he stylizes himself. So he said he basically doesn't really have too much time to think about these things. But as someone who signed the giving pledge, at least in theory, he should be giving away $100 billion, which would make it, you know, bigger than the Gates Foundation. This could be theoretically, if he follows his philanthropic pledges in letter, at least, this could be one of the world's most important philanthropies. So, like, the stakes of this are pretty damn high. He does claim to have a very clear point of view. I mean, he's a futurist. He's someone who believes that climate change is an existential threat to Earth, and that we need to do everything we can to solve that. But also, we sort of need a backup plan. And that's what's motivated his interest, which is genuine and for a long time in Mars.
So do you think this is something that he plans to tackle in the nearish future? Or is this, look, I'm gonna make Tesla and SpaceX and everything else, and then later on, I'm going to figure this out when my wealth is whatever it is?
It's the latter. And that's unusual for kind of the current class of entrepreneurs who think that their responsibilities cannot be delayed until later in life. I think in an earlier generation, right, sort of the belief in corporate America was you get rich, you maximize shareholder value, and you make as much money for yourself as possible. And then when you're on your deathbed, you maybe give some of it away. That sort of is the mindset that Elon at least has subscribed to publicly. He said that he's not going to be making major distributions from his charitable foundation until about two decades from now, when he would be 70 years old. And the problems in two decades might be very different than the problems today, right? I mean, critics would say, you know, climate change doesn't have two decades to be solved. It needs to be solved right now.
So I'm occasionally accused of being cynical.
Okay.
And I've noted that in the past, sometimes billionaires become interested in giving away money when they're under a lot of public scrutiny and criticism. Bill Gates,
for sure,
created the Gates Foundation right at the same time he was dealing with an antitrust suit. Mark Zuckerberg has been accused of using donations to stave off public criticism, which hasn't helped. Is there a sense that Musk might be someone who might find himself in a similar position and suddenly much more interested in becoming chair?
I think if there's any billionaire who cares less about criticism on Twitter, it's probably Elon Musk. But as I mentioned before, I mean, I think as the richest person in the world, you know, that criticism is going to be much stronger than it was when he was, you know, just some kind of loudmouth on the internet. Take Jeff Bezos. When Bezos became the wealthiest person in the world, his charitable spending skyrocketed. And yes, this is at the same time when, you know, activists are showing up at Jeff Bezos's mansions with a guillotine. You know, sort of this, there's this public pressure on the very wealthiest person in the world to do more. And look, I think that, you know, philanthropy is lots of times a response to public pressure, 100%. So Musk is going to find, you know, there are going to be people calculating how much he's given in a certain year in a way in which he's the 30th or 40th wealthiest person in the world. He's not going to get the same level of scrutiny.
So Elon Musk doesn't care what people say about him, except sometimes he does. And he is very online and he has asked for input. He's asked for advice on Twitter. Have you seen anything that's particularly interesting in his replies?
Yeah. So he tweeted last week, this is upon becoming the richest person in the world. He tweets, critical feedback is always super appreciated, as well as ways to donate money that really make a difference, parentheses, way harder than it seems. You know, he is doing actually the same thing that Jeff Bezos did when he became or was just about to become the wealthiest person in the world.
He crowdsourced it.
To crowdsource it. And obviously, you know, a cynical person would say, is this person really seeking advice, or are they just trying to broadcast that, like, you know, FYI, I'm working on it, right? Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I don't really know if Jeff Bezos, when he became the wealthiest person, was sitting in his bed on his phone reading the replies to his tweet. Elon maybe might be. I mean, Musk is someone who I think does have ideas about what he wants to do with the money, which makes me less accepting, I guess, of the argument that he's going to take a random person's advice. But, you know, there are people on Twitter who have a lot of good ideas. I mean, we saw Elon Musk engaging with Dustin Moskovitz, who's another billionaire, a founder of Facebook, who is another person with a clear idea of how to spend their money. So if anyone is having a good idea, Elon does read his tweets.
Okay, and if you can't get Elon to read the tweets, maybe you can have Teddy read them, and then he can write about them over on Recode.net. Thanks, Teddy.
Sure thing.